On the 28th day of October, Halloween gave to me 28 Bruce's Bleeding, 27 Monster Elevators, 26 Busey's Haunting, 25 Isabel's Freaking, 24 Vincent's Farming, 23 Cushing's Ghouling, 22 Rutger's Glaring, 21 Baby's Killing, 20 Horsehead Snorting, 19 D's Renting, 18 Frink's Perving, 17 Angel's Stripping, 16 Demon's Jazzercising, 15 Runes on Parchment, 14 Joseph's Whispering, 13 Seniors Bleeding, 12 Creepy Masks, 11 Dancing Demons, 10 Catholic Monsters, 9 Priests of Miracling, 8 Jerry's Vamping, 7 Jody's Oinking, 6 Body Swapping, 5 Reeds of Wolfing, 4 Drunken Uncles, 3 Werewolf Colonies, 2 Spooky Sisters, and a Psycho Who Killed Janet Lee. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the 31 Days of Halloween. We are right down to the wire with day 28, and as we get closer and closer to the final day, I am really wallowing in movies that I dearly love. And this time we are talking about The Evil Dead, the original 1981 Sam Raimi classic horror film. And boy, I gotta say, The Evil Dead still works. I know they've released about 12 million versions of the film on DVD and Laserdisc and VHS and Blu-ray and just beaming straight into your brain and all of that stuff. And as many times as they've re-released this movie, at the end of the day, it's still just a super low budget horror movie filled with things like stop motion effects and Play-Doh. And all of that, it works, and I love all of it. When I first saw this movie, I saw this when I was a kid. I remember there was a place that I used to rent movies from called Camera World, where you would rent VHS tapes back in the days when you went to an actual physical location. And VHS tapes were still kind of a new thing. It was still a novelty to be able to go into a place and just rent a movie. And the other thing that was really fascinating about it is that Camera World, and I don't know if they did this themselves or they just, you know, essentially appropriated some other company's catalog, but they would have a list of all the movies that they had, as well as descriptions of them, and there was a little checkmark box beside the movie, so you could go through this catalog of theirs and check off the movies that you had seen. And one of the movies was The Evil Dead, and I remember being, I don't know, I was probably 9 or 10 years old at this point, and going through this catalog and looking at all the horror movies, because even then I was obsessed, and figuring out what horror movies that I wanted to rent on the weekend. Get 2 or 3 horror movies, you got to rent them for a couple of days and take them back and on Sunday and all that. And The Evil Dead, The description of the movie was considered one of the goriest films of all time. And I knew at that point I needed to see it because being the burgeoning horror nerd that I was really into special effects and Fangoria and Gorezone and those magazines, and wanted to know the trick part of it. Like, how did you make this thing? And so, and also I just like gory movies. I like to see how crazy movie creators could get with the kind of gore and violence that they could show on screen. Less of the violence. I was looking for a good time, like Lucio Fulci kind of gore is what really sucked me in. And so one late night in the den of the house that I now own, when I was a kid, when that was still a finished basement and soon will be again, I would go down into our den late at night, and I would watch horror movies on our, you know, whatever it was, like a 27-inch Magnavox television that had one of those old-school remote controls that you got to press down real hard on and that kind of thing. And we had a VHS player, one of the first VHS players among people I knew. That was one thing that we certainly had early on compared to a lot of people that I knew. And I think it was because my dad was such a John Wayne fan, and he wanted the ability to record John Wayne movies off of cable so that he could watch the John Wayne movies to his heart's content. I, on the other hand, was all about the horror films, and when it got late and the parents went to sleep, that's when this kid really got his chance to shine. So I would sneak downstairs and watch scary movies. And one of the movies that I remember watching down there was The Evil Dead. And the reason I remember that so distinctly is because I couldn't finish it. It scared me so much at that age that I had to kind of take a step back. I couldn't watch it all in one sitting. I was there alone in the dark watching this movie that was really savage. And I think one of the ads for it, I can't remember if it was Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. I think it was Evil Dead, but it was advertised as the ultimate in grueling horror. And that's what it felt like. It was grueling. Where you, at a certain point, and the point in the movie where I just couldn't take it anymore, was when Scotty is looking for his girlfriend who has disappeared after the demons bust through the window and she's gone. And it's him very slowly looking out the window, looking to the right, looking to the left, then back in, and then opening the curtain of the bathtub to see if she's there. And I was like, I can't take this. This is too tense for me, and I need to back away. You know, it's funny because just yesterday we talked about The Cabin in the Woods, which is sort of a riff on movies like The Evil Dead. And in fact, you know, the cellar door blowing open and everything being in the fruit cellar is a direct reference to The Evil Dead. But the reason that you had this spate of movies that were sort of following what Evil Dead did is because Evil Dead works so well. To this day, even though the special effects are really primitive, it still like functions as a movie, and not just a movie, but it functions as a scary movie still. And perhaps it's part of that is nostalgia. But I still think it works. When I was watching it again for this little discussion, I was thinking like, this still makes me kind of grip the edge of my seat, and it still makes me squirm a little bit, and I still find it uncomfortable, even though, you know, I know that ahead of this are stop motion veins spreading on a leg and you know, Play-Doh monsters. But even that stuff, as silly as that is in principle, during the course of the film, like the slow way that the Play-Doh monster kind of blinks when the Necronomicon goes into the fire, I still think that's really effective and weird and creepy. The monster in the cellar is still scary to me. And honestly, it's Bruce Campbell's girlfriend in the movie. And again, just to briefly summarize the goings on, if you've never seen the original Evil Dead, then shame on you. It is an absolute required film. Even from 1981, it 40 years old, this movie still packs a punch. But yeah, it's just a bunch of kids who rent a cabin in Tennessee. The original cabin was in East Tennessee, not far from where I live, even though it has now completely disappeared. It's just been picked apart by people trying to get souvenirs. And so these kids go into a cabin and find a book bound in human flesh and inked in blood, and a reel-to-reel tape recorder that is a professor saying he's been studying these Kondarian demons, and he recites on this reel-to-reel tape the incantation to bring them back to life, and they start possessing members of this group of friends. It seems to spread based on violence, based on injury. Like the first person to get it is Ash's sister, who, you know, the infamous tree rape scene, she's assaulted in the woods by these trees, and then everyone that she injures and is injured by another of these possessed creatures tends to get possessed as well. And so that's kind of a creepy idea to begin with. You know, there's an idea about the destruction of the flesh being horrifying, and I think this is a great example of that. But what makes The Evil Dead work where a lot of low-budget films don't is that you're dealing with creators who have an abundance of creativity and really want to make something work. They're not just trying to make a buck on a horror movie. And, I mean, maybe that was the impulse, but it's hard to believe that that's the case when there's all these, like, crazy over-the-head shots. And, you know, very famously, the Evil Dead point-of-view camera comes from them just strapping their, what was a 16mm, 8mm camera to a board and running with it. You know, and it's that kind of creativity where the budget almost doesn't matter because the filmmakers are so enraptured and so in love with the art of filmmaking and the sort of Wild West attitude of, hey, we're going to do a movie that's as scary as we can possibly make it. Even though it's low budget, we're going to get the best actors that we can. And I think the acting, for the most part, I mean, some of it's better than others, but it's still head and shoulders above most acting that you see in low budget films today. And if you're going to do this sort of DIY, super low budget, we're going to make this for, you know, less than $100,000 kind of movie, then you've got to have the passion for it, right? Like, you've got to be obsessive about making the best possible movie you can. And I think that's where some of the DIY stuff that I see these days, particularly in the found footage market, but elsewhere also, feels a little cynical, that it's, we're making as good a movie as we can within the, you know, few hours that we're going to spend on the planning of it, where this feels like, you know, that Raimi and Bruce Campbell and the other actors were just game for it, that they wanted to do something that was special. And even though it doesn't totally hold up in you know, terms of special effects and modern standards and all that for big budget films, it's way better than most DIY films. And I think that you could still do an Evil Dead today, and especially because the camera equipment is so much less expensive, you could do an Evil Dead for less money today than it costs to do the original Evil Dead. You just have to have the talent and the creativity and the inspiration to do it. And I think, again, that's what makes The Evil Dead such a remarkable movie, is because the creative team behind it was populated by people that wanted to make a great film. Or get as close as they could, for sure. And they ended up making, you know, a movie that launched, what, 3 sequels and a television show at this point? Or 2 sequels and a remake? As well as the series, which was better than it ought to have been as well. It's nothing short of miraculous to me that this movie works. And it's still scary. Like I said, watching it again, I still get kind of the heebie-jeebies watching it. It's such a simple story. But when you've got a great director like Sam Raimi, you know, young and hungry and wanting to prove himself, then what more can you ask for out of a horror film? And I even like the nice touch. I'm sure, you know, you all have heard this story, but when Sam Raimi and Wes Craven had a little bit of a back and forth when they were sort of in their prime doing horror films, where on the cellar is a ripped poster of The Hills Have Eyes, and Raimi has said, like, this is us saying, hey, you think what The Hills Have Eyes is transgressive and scary? Wait till you see this. And then you see in Nightmare on Elm Street, there's an Evil Dead poster on the wall. Yeah, there. It felt like it was self-aware in the sense that it knew what horror movies were moving towards, but it just went so far over the top. It just blew the doors off of it and was insanely gory and tense and wonderful and filled with little moments like the moment where Bruce Campbell is about to bury his girlfriend, and they mirror the scene earlier where he's going to give her the gift of the, you know, the necklace with the magnifying glass, and he's pretending to be asleep, and they do the reverse of that where the possessed girlfriend is now pretending to be asleep as he's looking at the body as he's burying the love of his life, presumably. So yeah, it all of that stuff is a step above the normal expectations for this kind of movie. And it just works so well. It's such a wonderful movie. It's still scary. Like I said, you can throw this on in a party kind of setting, I suppose. But I still think it works best if it's just you and the movie in a dark room, letting Sam Raimi kind of have his way with you. And I still find it scary. I know a lot of people don't, but those people are just missing the best in life. It's fun to be scared, and I like it when a movie can do that to me. And The Evil Dead still manages to do that. So, yeah, if you haven't seen The Evil Dead in a while, boy, just do yourself a favor. And the new transfers look gorgeous. You know, it's been remastered long ago, and those transfers still look great. The sound is great, and for being, you know, a lo-fi kind of movie, it still completely works for me. So you may have a different opinion, and if you do, feel free to contact me. You can do so at Legion Podcasts on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, or you can hit me up on Dark Parade Pod on Twitter, or if you look for the Dark Parade Facebook group, you can find me most active there. While Facebook is still a thing before it gets banned on account of it being terrible. So at any rate, I feel free to drop me a line. Let me know when the first time you saw The Evil Dead was and what your reaction to it was as well. I just thought it was a terrific movie. Thought it then, was able to go back and finish it the next night and fell in love with it and have seen it. Ah, geez, I don't know how many times I've seen The Evil Dead. Maybe 20-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it keeps getting better every single time I see it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful movie, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a terrific, what are we at, Thursday? Is it Thursday already? Good Lord in heaven. We are almost at Halloween, people. That hardly seems right. But yeah, here we are right at the end of the Halloween season. Have yourselves a great rest of the day. Be spooky out there. Do some good work. And we'll see you back here for number 29 in our list of the 31 Days of Halloween movies. And I will see you then.